Susan Frank talks to the animals and you. It's Wild About Pets on TalkZone.com.
Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Patricia McConnell, a certified applied animal behaviorist. Our phone lines are open at 888-463-6748. And we were talking about the dangers of overindulging your dog too much. And on picture 29, there's this rather amusing, I'd like to say photograph, where the dogs are owning the whole sofa, and there's even a photograph above the sofa of the dogs owning the sofa. So, Tricia, why is it important to teach your dog the word enough when they're begging too much and where they're starting to, you know, rule our lives?
Because I think, like children, dogs need to learn how to handle frustration, and it doesn't serve them to learn that they can get anything they want just by raising a fuss, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I let my dogs on the sofa. I don't care. That's not a problem as long as, I mean, if somebody's dog growls at them when they go to sit on the sofa, too, that would be a problem.
Yes.
But I think the biggest problem is the dogs who start training their owners. Dogs are very good trainers, by the way. They're better than we are, naturally. they're consistent. They have great stamina. They're very observant.
Oh, yeah.
And so what you don't want is a dog who literally gets anything he wants. I've seen, Susan, I had a client whose dog went to the toolbox, the tool bin in my office, the toy box in my office,
mm-hmm.
and wanted a toy out of it, which he could have picked up easily. It was a Cocker Spaniel. It was a small toy. And he looked at the toy, and he looked at his owner. And then he looked at the toy. And I looked at her, and she said, he wants me to get up and get it for him. And I said, Martha, he can get it for you. She said, well, yeah, but he likes me to get it for him. She started to get up, and I said, wait, stay. I was like, literally, Martha, stay. Stay.
Uh-huh.
The dog worked his way up into growling at her and started working himself up into an emotional fit because he was so frustrated that he wasn't getting what he wanted. And so I think dogs, as social animals, need to learn emotional control and what I call frustration tolerance and enough, the signal enough, which means stop begging.
Mm-hmm.
Stop dropping the ball in my lap.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you're doing, you know, just stop doing that for a while. It's a really great thing to teach animals, and it's really, really easy. You can use, again, basic principles of canine behavior to teach them that when you say enough, they should just go settle down, lie down somewhere, and let you finish whatever you're doing, and then, you know, we'll get up when we can and play with them. So when a dog comes up and drops the ball in my lap and I don't want to play or puts a paw up to demand that I pet him and I don't want to, I'll say enough. And then in training, I'll pat the top of their head two or three times, sort of brisk, not hard, but brisk pat,
mm-hmm.
pat, right on the top of their head, which dogs, by the way, do not like, and is the way people who handle wolves get wolves to go away from them.
Mm.
And if they don't go away, which they may not, because they've probably been taught over years that if they just keep bugging you, they'll get your attention.
Right.
You can sort of stand up and sort of unch them away, doing a kind of a body block, keeping your feet on the ground and sort of shuffling towards them. If they back up the slightest bit, you say, you're a good dog, and that's all you say. And then you fold your arms and you just look away like a wolf in a wolf pack would, like, I don't want to interact with you anymore. I'm done interacting. And very often dogs will go like, oh, okay, and just go lie down. And so some dogs are pushier than others. Obviously, it's not magic, but it's really good. I just did it this morning. I was working on an article, and Willie came over and dropped a toy in my lap, and I was right in the middle of writing a paragraph, and I said, Willie, hon, that's enough.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't mean. It wasn't unfriendly. It wasn't about being dominant or, sort of taking over. It was just a signal that he and I had learned to use as a way of communicating to each other that said, mommy's busy. You know, it's mommy's busy. Daddy's busy. A little later. You know, you go take care of yourself a little later. And I think it's really good for dogs to learn that.
Oh, that's a great tip. There's a photograph of you and the Border Collie you're talking about named Will.
Will.
Yes, it's picture number 32. And it's a lovely photograph of a Border Collie. And if we have some time before the end of the show, I want to talk a little bit about Border Collies.
Sure.
However, during the break, you and I were talking a little bit about the idea of animals having emotion. And, you know, of course, this is a bit controversial amongst the behavioral scientists. What can we talk about regarding that? And what's kind of the work you're dealing with the idea of emotions in our animals, Tricia?
Such an interesting topic, and you're absolutely right, Susan. It is a hot, hot topic. It was hot in the 1800s when Darwin wrote a book, The Expression of Emotions in Man and Animals. You know, it was a hot topic then, and it's a hot topic now, and it's partly because we have had a difficult time studying emotions scientifically because they're so subjective. You know, Skinner, the brilliant psychologist who helped us understand the laws of learning, operant conditioning, etc., I mean, things that all dog trainers, all, I would argue, good dog trainers use all the time, all animal trainers, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he didn't want to talk about emotions because you couldn't measure them, and therefore you couldn't do science on them. But that was then, and this is now. He never said animals didn't have emotions. We know a lot about emotions now, and because of all the work in neurobiology, which is the coolest, hottest field going, let me tell you.
Yes, I'm excited about it.
So cool what's going on in this field. So we know a lot about how emotions are produced and processed and perceived in the human brain and in the brains of other animals, and we know that the core emotions like fear, anger or rage, it's often called, joy, love, something called the seeking circuit, which is that feeling of joyful anticipation, oh boy, I'm about to go to a rock concert, you know, or oh boy, I'm about to go on a great date, you know, or your dog, oh boy, I'm about to get a piece of chicken. those are generated in similar areas of the brain in you and your dog. They are conveyed by the same neurotransmitters, the same neurohormones, and the same hormones. Many of the external expressions of them are the same. What's different? So it's a glass half empty and a glass half full. And the half empty part is that the thoughts and feelings that go along with our emotions are generated in the part of our brain that is different from that of our dogs. So I would never say the experience of fear is exactly the same in a person as it is in a dog, because we have that over layering of all these sort of analytical, rational, abstract thoughts about it. But the core emotion, you know, what sort of that core feeling that first bubbles up when you hear somebody walking behind you on a dark street on a dark night, that appears to be very, very similar in all mammals.
Oh, that's fascinating. Now, we can find out more about that in your book, For the Love of Dog, Understanding Emotions in You and Your Best Friend.
Right, right.
Okay, and I suppose people could look on the website, besides reading your book, to find out more about that.
They could, and you know, I've also been writing about that some on my blog. It's www.theotherendoftheleash.com, which is just a fun conversation about us and dogs and animals and behavior and the brain and, you know, whatever topic that comes up if you're interested in behavior.
And Tricia's website can be easily reached through either the Talk Zone homepage or my website, and it's www.patriciamcconnell.com. In the last 2 minutes we have, I do want to just focus a little bit on a photograph of a Border Collie, number 33. And you said something extremely funny in your book, Tricia, referring to the needs of Border Collies, because a lot of people love them, and I have a personal, you know, stake in this, because I see a lot of owners who get the Border Collies, yeah, and they don't know what they're getting into.
Yeah.
And what is, you kind of refer to the length someone should go to make sure a Border Collie gets enough exercise. What is it that you did for your Border Collies?
Yeah, well, I bought a farm.
A sheep farm.
and sheep. And it's, you know, they are the best of dogs and the worst of dogs.
Mm-hmm.
They really are. And you talk to any trainer behaviorist, and some of their worst cases are Border Collies. They are so intense. They are so reactive. They were bred literally to be semi-clinically obsessive. They are extremely smart, and usually when people tell me that their dog is smart, I say, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, right.
Not always a good thing.
They
have huge both physical exercise and mental exercise needs. They can worry a lot. They're super reactive. I mean, I adore my border collies, but they're really not great pets for a lot of people. They just, it's like, you know, I don't want a Ferrari or a Indy 500 car to drive to the store to get milk.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And I think the fact that you address in your book is very beneficial for, obviously, pet owners and, most importantly, for the border collies themselves. We are out of time now, and so I just want to say my guest today has been Patricia McConnell, author of The Other End of the Leash, Why We Do What We Do Around Dogs. Her website, again, is www.patriciamcconnell.com. As usual, the link to her site and how to order her book and books is on the TalkZone website and my own, www.wildaboutpets.net. Thank you so much, Patricia.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Thanks for having me, Susan.
Oh, it was a delight and so informative. I have a tip for dog lovers. The International Kennel Club of Chicago is having their dog show next weekend, February 20th and 21st, at the McCormick Place in Chicago, Illinois. I will be there walking the show and conducting interviews for this radio show. Now, this show is unusual because it is a benched dog show, and that means that in between the judging, the dogs and their owners are out on the public floor for you to see and speak to them. This should be very fun. I will hope to see you there. For information on the show, go to the International Kennel Club of Chicago website. I want to remind everyone that all my shows are archived, so you can listen to any of the episodes and see all the matching photos on my website anytime you'd like. That's wildaboutpets.net. Thank you so much for listening. I hope to have you see you again or talk to you again next week.